League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5 KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station,
which can cause cramping and diarrhea.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com,
powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's a way back Wednesday. Thank God we got Nick's list out of the way because it sucked. So now Barry and I still have our hours. This is my first song. Obviously, you know who it is and who it's by.
That's Tito Jackson.
That's one of them. Yeah. Oh. And Joe, the man who let his kids have a childhood. So, we were talking
Dad, Ball or Jackson?
I made that comparison.
Yeah?
Yeah. I still got to say Joe.
At least Earl Woods wasn't an a-hole. Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't as...
Don't say he wasn't.
True. I misspoke. At least he wasn't as in-your-face about
true.
It.
True. There you go.
So yeah, maybe that's...
I mean, you talk about the three of the worst dads of all time that didn't let their kids have a childhood, and the Jacksons, man, they used to literally, like, Joe would come in, too, if they were having fun and playing, and they'd say, Michael needs to rest his voice, and don't you dare hurt him, and just ridiculous stuff. But, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There's a couple of books out, and just a lot of things that people have chronicled them over the years. By the way, your Stros just won 3-0. McCullers with a 3-hitter.
Boom! So suck it, Marlins.
The Marlins. They win 6 out of 7 on the road, and now they come back home. What a great-looking team right now.
Yeah, pretty hot.
For sure. So the Barry Warner experiment is over.
Yeah, thank goodness. That was not good.
No.
We switched him. We give him a moment to shine.
Now we can
airwaves.
Tell him he's been on ESPN 97.5, so his career is
complete.
And
he's talking Trump. We give him a moment to blow it up, to win some fans. He's talking Trump.
If he hears you talking about him, which
and
he might.
Will Folk.
Expect him to barge in here.
Nope. You will not turn his mic on.
In the second or pot third hour.
You will pot it down.
You will pot it down this time.
Not, look at that Joel's face.
Not that people so won't serious. Still be able to hear that loud mouth. But nonetheless, I won't have to have that look of what the hell are you doing while he actually gets a mic that's hot.
He grabbed me by my shoulders, and then he started to rub them.
Today?
Yeah. And I really felt like I was being violated.
You were violated.
By B-Dub.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is really creepy. Like, now I know. It was just like, he was like, ah! You know how he does that thing where he screams at me like a bear? He's just like, ah! And he puts his hands up like a bear.
I do not.
Yeah, he does this
I'm
for some reason.
I don't know that.
When he sees me, he just goes, ah! And then he chases me.
He chases
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
God he had a t-shirt on. Otherwise, the back of your head would have been full chest hair experience.
But then he grabbed my shoulders and he was like, ha, 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 I gotcha. And then he started rubbing them, like massaging them. I was like, this is inappropriate, and your breath smells. Like, what is going on? He goes, I had onions for lunch. I was like, actually, I was just joking. Your breath doesn't smell, but now we know it really does. Okay. But yeah, he was rubbing my shoulders, and it felt creepy, strange.
As well it should.
Yeah. He's got a firm grip.
I was down the hall hearing him tell you what you should talk about today.
Here's an interesting stat. All right. You know what? I'm good with it.
Barry,
sir.
I have something you can use today, Barry. Barry, here are two things you can use today.
Oh, David Navarro has a good question on Twitter. Jong versus Nick versus Dell, who would win?
In what?
Basketball or fighting?
I'd win in both basketball and fighting.
You think you'd be? You think I'd you could dominate, beat those guys up?
Dominate
both of them
at the same time.
Now, at the sake of sounding racist,
I know exactly what you're going to say too.
Aren't you worried John might know karate?
Oh,
he might.
You ever see that coming?
No.
Aren't you worried he might know karate or something?
He doesn't strike me as a guy that knows karate.
He might know jiu-jitsu.
I don't think he knows jiu-jitsu.
No, because he can't succeed at male golf or female golf.
You wouldn't think Fred Fowler would know taekwondo, but he does.
Fred Fowler does not know how to taekwondo.
And, yeah, he does.
And if he does, he doesn't know how to
world-class taekwondees.
Nah, he's told me he's
yeah, and I'm friend. Pretty sure Dale's like the dirtiest fighter ever.
I don't know.
I bet Dale is dirty. I bet he has fish hooks and eye gouges.
He might be.
All those banned weapons that you can't use. He probably uses brass knucks. Like, you got to watch Dale. I bet he's dirty. I think you could take him, but I'm just saying he's dirty.
You say his name like Barry says willful.
What, Dale?
Dale. You were saying Dale.
I didn't think I did. I said Dale.
It's Dell.
Okay, Midwest.
It's Dell.
We're really going to correct me for saying Dale?
Oh, I'm on Twitter today. And I'm on text messages.
Okay. Now basketball, I think you could beat Jong. I don't know about Dale.
Why?
Good job, Nick.
Why?
Because I think Dale might be quicker than you.
Why do you think?
I think
Dale
he
is
might.
Quicker?
I think he might have had more practice playing basketball.
That's exactly what you meant.
Yeah.
What? I think he could beat you at basketball. Now, I think you could beat him at...
I think Nick beats him in a short race. 40-yard dash.
I was going to say something, and I just feel dirty for saying it. I'm not even going to say it.
It was going to be racial, for sure.
It was
going to
be so racist.
Say it.
No. Even it's Nick's my boy. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to.
Well, at least we know we're not boys, because you would definitely say it about me in a heartbeat.
No, that's not true.
It is true.
No.
Barry said some things about me on the air before, so it's not like
I mean, you know.
So go ahead.
Nope. So go ahead and do it. I will probably get letters if I were to say it. So I'm not going to say it. I'll tell you what it was off air.
I have an idea.
What do you think
the direction?
Involved? What do you think it involved?
I'm not going to say
explosives?
God.
You're not even subtle about it.
No.
You think it involved it making explosives?
That or something else?
It may have. It may not. You don't know.
Whatever.
Wow.
It definitely wasn't. I don't think you could beat him at making Philly cheesesteaks.
No, based on what we just
based
heard
on what
the
you
break,
told us?
Yeah.
Yeah, I basically.
Who pan fries a Philly cheesesteak before you put it in the oven?
I put like, you know, the
who
steak.
Who puts a Philly in the oven? Don't you chop up the meat and you cook it on the grill or the pan or whatever?
First.
Toast the bread. Put
and then,
it, put said meat and bread with cheese and you're done, the veggies. What the hell are you doing? What kind of
Martha
Stewart Philly cheesesteak recipe did you get?
No, I just after I cooked the steak, I put in the bread.
Uh-huh.
And then I put the cheese and then I put it in the oven so it can melt and it just
You burnt to a crisp a Philly trying to melt cheese? Do you not
I
have
like
a microwave?
That crunch, I like that crunchy
no,
texture.
Microwave's
there's
terrible
crunchy.
For cheese.
There's crunchy. That's true.
Yeah.
There's crunchy and then there's what you did to it.
And don't you?
It would have been fine if I just didn't leave
it
in that long.
Set it for 450.
Well,
for 15
400.
Do you not have a broiler and a minute to spare? You don't know how the broiler works, do you?
So my big thing is, don't you have a window in the door of the oven so you can see it like become like a bonfire?
Nick said, "I'm being berated here."
You can't have one of those ovens where you can't see what's inside. You had to at least check on it to know that you were basically going to start the neighborhood on fire.
Yeah.
Did I get the right song?
Yeah. Tears of a Clown?
Yeah, wrong part of it, but yeah.
I like this text. Oh, wow. Y'all swept the Marlins. Pop the champagne and get the parade route ready. First of all, none of us played.
Right.
So y'all didn't sweep the Marlins. The Houston Astros did. Great
who's your
text,
team?
Sir.
And who's your team?
It doesn't even matter. Great text, sir. Oh, somebody said Freddie D is the baller at 97.5. Recruit him.
That's false.
Do you guys want to swap me out for Freddie D? That'd be fine.
I would do that anyway.
I would understand. Not on the show, Joel. On the basketball
Nick,
team.
Nick suggested that the stuffed animal bear could fill in for you.
Joel's like, oh, you, I thought you meant the show. Yeah, basketball too. Yeah. We'll swap you out. Either one.
No. Now, I'm not swapping him on the show either, but basketball-wise, no.
You don't want to swap?
First of all, he's not the baller of the station. That's ridiculous.
That's Joel. That's you?
I'm not saying that either, but I'm just...
Who wins, though? You or Raheel?
Honestly. I don't know. I mean, I don't know because... He can play. We've played together just recently. I don't. He's a good player. I think
Raheel,
I can outshoot
him. Raheel for sure.
Raheel wins.
Yeah,
for sure. Really.
Yeah, you're past your prime. Bro.
By the way, you're saying
true,
it wrong.
But
Nick.
I can still
it's
outshoot
Raheel,
him.
Not Raheel.
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 Where are you from? The South or the Midwest? Get it right.
Yeah, get Dale in here.
Actually, Joel. I think Dale. Joel would probably be a better shooter. I don't know how Raheel plays, but he's probably a better shooter. For sure.
Tears of a Clown, Smokey Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a lot still to get to.
Okay.
I just retweeted this, but ESPN put out the 10 best NBA uniforms of all time. I don't agree with many of them. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I'll break it. I'll throw it out there for you guys as well, and you can go back in time. But really, there are some classics back in time, but there's also some that were gaudy and awful.
Yeah.
Like. They have the Denver Nuggets rainbow uniforms on there.
Song sucks.
So really? Think about that. Thanks, Nick. So we can talk about that.
Haven't we done this, though? The jersey thing?
I don't know if we did.
Or was it because of their list? I'm just curious what they have.
Yeah, their list kind of sucks, but okay. I'll highlight
All
that.
Right.
But we got plenty more to get to, so please feel free. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Joel, Nick, and Barry for hour number two as we are deep into it, or at least somewhat into it. Stevie Wonder, one of my all-time favorites, as it's my hour on Way Back Wednesday after we escaped whatever the hell that first hour was. So we were talking about this, this list that I saw that just, by the way, the Detroit Pistons are going back to their bad boy uniforms next year. The old just red basketball that says Detroit Pistons in plain font with the blue.
They have some of the lamest.
Yeah. I mean, if you get a chance to redo it. Now, I will say this. They probably were scared to death because the last time they redid their uniforms, they had that evil horse head and the teal and the yellow and the red. They had all kinds of stuff going on. And then Grant Hill was terrible too. But they've screwed their uniforms up quite a bit.
Mm.
But I'll tell you this. So the top 10 list, according to ESPN, 10 is the Portland Trailblazers of the 80s. I would have had that uniform higher up. I think that's a really classic, yet it's still kind of it's got a little zip to it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Blazers of the 80s gets number 10.
Okay, this is the ugliest.
No, these are the best.
Oh, the best. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Nine,
Blazers of 10.
The current Phoenix Suns.
They like the orange.
I guess
that's what it is.
Remember that for a while, where everybody had to have either teal, black, orange. In their uniforms.
Mm.
8, the Sonics in Seattle of the Jack Sikma era.
I don't even know what the hell
kind
those
of the arched,
like.
The arched
oh,
Sonics
okay.
across the front. That was 8. 7 were those Rainbow Nuggets uniforms.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
6 were the Pacers uniforms of the 70s, which are just so plain. Awful.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't agree with those either. 5, the Washington Bullets when they won the title,
All
which
right.
was just very patriotic. 4, any Boston Celtics uniform.
Any?
Any.
Get the hell out of
yeah,
here.
Yeah, any.
Boston's got the wackest uniform out there.
They never change, right?
No.
3.
It's white and green.
Dominique's Hawks, which were.
I thought those were ugly.
Yeah, terrible, right?
I'm not a big fan of the red and yellow. Sorry, Rockets.
Of all the Rockets uniforms, I'd go back to those.
Ugh. Ketchup and mustard. No thanks.
What do you want, the pinstripes?
No.
Okay.
No.
Two.
I'd like them to be more creative with the colors, but whatever.
The New York Nets with Dr. J, which, again, patriotic, but... And then number one, the San Francisco Warriors of the 60s, which the Golden State Warriors have now brought back, where it just says the city with the circle on the front with the Golden Gate Bridge that Rick Barry wore.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one.
That's crazy.
To me, regardless of anything else on this list, number one to me,
yeah,
the Chicago Bulls. Jordan's Bulls.
Yeah.
And the Lakers. Those two jerseys, to me, would have to be right up in the top five.
I don't think there's a lot of really good basketball jerseys, to be honest with you. I think a lot of them need work.
I agree. I would agree with that. I mean, Yao's gone. You can change the Chinese national team uniforms anytime you want. But I think everybody loves the ketchup and mustard traditional Rockets uniforms. Now, they've tried to screw with it to the point where they put sleeves on it and put Clutch City on the front. You don't need all that either. It's not your zip code anymore, and it's not your team.
Yeah.
But I still think that the ketchup and mustard are the Rockets' colors.
I've never liked
them. But you could jazz the uni up.
Yeah.
I like that before the sleeved, I like that third jersey that was kind of like – It was from one of the early Rockets uniforms, but it wasn't the championship years. The red had the wide yellow panels on the sides, trimmed in white, and it was jazzier.
Mm. I'm liking the black.
I love the black
one. Yeah, I'm liking that. That's something that I would buy and wear. I mean, I actually wouldn't buy it and wear it, but red and yellow, I'm not wearing that.
Really?
Yeah.
The colors mean enough that you wouldn't wear it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fact. That's why I've never worn Aggie gear, because I think maroon is ugly.
I don't disagree there. And
I mean, if I had Aggie shirts, it was usually just gray and white or black and white or something like that. I never wanted to wear a maroon and white shirt. But that's just me. You know? Everybody has their own thing.
I think the sleeve jerseys are a ridiculously bad idea. I think that the Rockets gray uniform is just a really bad attempt at trying to be over the top.
Yeah.
But, like, so think, I mean, iconically or otherwise, what are the top five uniforms in the NBA of all time or in your opinion?
I think you're right on the Bulls. I mean, are you talking about style-wise or just?
Just look. Just pure, I love that look, or that to me is
dude,
a good
I don't
look.
Know.
Good-looking uniform.
I don't know. Like I said, I guess I've really never given it much thought like that, where I'm like, oh, yeah, I would wear that jersey or whatever. I don't know.
I think Bulls and Lakers have to be up there. A lot from tradition, but also just because they're clean. They didn't change. Like, the Celtics didn't change much, but it was so simple. They probably should have changed more.
Yeah.
But I think those two were kind of ahead of the time, and then they kept it. And I think that they're both classic looks.
Somebody said they are untraditional, but I did like the Orlando Magic pinstripe uniforms. Hashtag ding, ding, ding.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Vince Carter's Raptors, Penny's Magic.
God, anything with all that stuff on the front was white, just too big.
White Lakers or the baby blue? That was from O.
Baby blue.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Baby blue is the old, where it said Los Angeles and script across the front, I believe.
No clue.
Well, anyway, I just threw it out there. I thought their list was a little bit whack. But also, let me know your thoughts. Let us know your thoughts if you want. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up with a text. But I just really to tell me that the New York Nets were second and that the Golden State Warriors of the 60s was first.
Somebody said y'all did the show on jerseys back in September for the Texans-Pats game. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because the Texans weren't going to get to wear their Thursday color rush in 2016, and it just went from there. Loyal listener here. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Because I damn sure didn't remember that.
Me either.
Yeah. Look at that. Thank you for listening, sir or ma'am.
Coming up next, ESPN and HBO's Max Kellerman. Big fight coming up this weekend at the Garden. He will be there for HBO, so he will let you know what's going on there. And also touch on a little bit of James Harden and the Rockets. So Max Kellerman next, and then much more show following that. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects, the usual crew here in studio, and a very special guest joining us right now. Saturday, HBO's World Championship Boxing returns. It's the mecca of boxing, Madison Square Garden, where the building will host undefeated champion Terrence Crawford, taking on southpaw and Olympic gold medalist Felix Diaz in a showdown for the World Junior Welterweight Championship. We bring in now ESPN's Max Kellerman, also of HBO Sports, who will be on that broadcast doing that fight on Saturday night. Max, a pleasure to have you join us here on ESPN 97.5. First question right off the bat, can you break down the fight for us? What are we looking at and what are we looking for?
You know, someone asked me recently to give him a pound for pound list on Twitter, and in fact, it was Michael Carter Williams, and I did. And, you know, everyone has different criteria for pound, but I said, as Jim Lampley and I sometimes talk about this, you can talk about who's proven it based on their resume, or you can talk about who you think it really is, who's really the best in the world at the moment, even if they haven't proven it against the top opponents, because for whatever reason, either they've been avoided or they just haven't made the fights yet. And when you do it the second way that I talked about just now, like, who do you really think is the best pound for pound? The only guy in the world who I look at and I go, he's even better than Crawford, is a guy, Vasily Lomachenko. But Terrence Crawford is right there among the very best pound for pound fighters in the world. So it's a pleasure to watch him fight, period. And it's tough to find opponents that can give him any burn, you know, any run. But Felix Diaz, he's a heavy underdog, but Felix Diaz is an Olympic gold medalist. He only has one loss. That was a tough loss to Lamont Peterson, who's an excellent contender for a number of years. And Felix Diaz, a southpaw, is as good an opponent as you're going to find in a fight like this for Terrence Crawford. So I'm looking forward to it.
We're speaking to Max Kellerman here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN97.5.com. Speaking of Felix Diaz, I saw somewhere that he said that he had the experience to defeat a Terrence Crawford. And in my opinion, well, I think he has 20 total fights. 10 fights, in my opinion, is a big difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that him just being confident, or is that realistic? 20 fights is enough?
Well, you know, it really depends who those fights come against. He hasn't fought a who's who in boxing. As I said, Peterson is his best opponent, and he lost to Peterson. He has a couple of other names, kind of quasi-names in boxing that he's beaten, one of them close. It's not just the professional experience in Diaz's case. He was a decorated amateur. And the way boxing works, if you have like a ham and egger, meaning like a guy fighting in 4 and 6 round fights who's not that great, didn't have an extensive background in the amateurs, versus an Olympic gold medalist who's won other international tournaments or medaled in other international tournaments, the amateur will wind up being the better fighter. So Diaz, because of his decorated amateur background on the international scene, which is the highest level, there's nothing bigger than an Olympic gold medal, which he scored in an upset. Because of that, the 20 pro fights means a little more than it would, compared to another fighter. That said, he has not exactly fought a who's who in the pros so far. Crawford is not only the taller fighter, the better boxer, but is the more experienced pro.
How much is the height difference going to matter? I think he's 5'5", Felix Diaz. I mean, is that the size difference? Is that going to make a difference at all?
And Crawford can use his size, his height, his reach. But if Diaz finds his way inside and can make it like a rough-and-tumble fight, Crawford's ready to get down like that, too. I don't think that Diaz wins that kind of fight either. I don't think Diaz wins, period. But that gives him his best chance, you would think.
Max, while we got you, I want to get to something because I'm an avid fan and viewer of First Take, and I know you and Stephen A. go back and forth on a lot of topics, but the one that's obviously hot right now in the city of Houston is James Harden, and sometimes people can't get to a TV to catch your take. Can you kind of just give us a synopsis of your take on the collapse of James Harden in the playoffs and what this means for him and the Rockets going forward?
I like Harden a lot. He is getting the most of his ability on the offensive end. I think I like the pairing of Harden and D'Antoni before the season started, because when D'Antoni gets a primary ball handler who buys in, he can really do something. He can inflate the assets around that ball handler if they're shooters and make the team look better than actually is. The 50 games to be in the playoffs, you'll advance maybe one round, sometimes two. You'll be exciting. Your highlights will be on SportsCenter and stuff because there'll be lots of threes and dunks because it's all about high percentage shots, especially the threes. He doubled down on exploiting that shot this year. Thought he didn't take it far enough with Phoenix and all that. So I liked what they did. And because he plays at that pace, he doesn't really care about defense, which is perfect for James Harden. So I liked the pairing a lot. But when Harden was bragging about how he doesn't take off games and yada, 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 well, maybe he should have. Maybe he should have done the LeBron and rested a bit because he seemed out of gas late. So there's that. There's also the fact that Harden has choked in the past. I take no pleasure in saying he's choked in the past. I wish that he will, going forward, get that right. But we saw it as the sixth man with Oklahoma City in the finals. We've seen it in previous playoff games. Not that anyone's perfect. Everyone, almost everyone has, and maybe not Michael Jordan, has bad playoff games. And we saw it again in critical moments with the Rockets. Now, Jalen Rose pointed out he was on the floor and refused help getting up off the floor when they wanted to get him off the floor. Maybe there's something more than meets the eye going on that team. Maybe, you know, between Harden and his teammates. But I have another theory on top of all that, guys. And if I haven't talked too much already, I'll ask you if you want to hear it.
Oh, absolutely. Please do.
I think that James Harden, you know, his game is based on an exploitation, a manipulation of the rules. Like, for example, once upon a time in baseball, you know, why does the walks rule, why does it exist? Is it so players can draw walks? No, it's to incentivize pitchers to throw the ball to the hitter in a way that he can hit it so we can have a game, right? You can have a ball game. But over time, as is always the case, enterprising people look to manipulate and exploit rules in ways that they were not intended. So batters started trying to squeeze out walks because they want to get to first base for free, right? Have a free pass. And that's a valuable thing to do. And, of course, the result is it slows up the game. It makes it more boring, et cetera. Same thing with the free throws, like with going to the foul line, fouls in basketball. They're there so the defensive player doesn't hack at the offensive player, but enterprising offensive players have, of course, manipulated that, and they've exploited it in such a way that they draw the defense into the foul. And then they throw up their arms as though they're going to take a shot, and then the ref is there going, well, theoretically, I can't prove he wasn't going to take a shot, so I'll give him three free throws. It slows up the game. It's ugly to watch, and it rewards players who are creative. You know, they are clever. They show ingenuity in certain ways, but it's really not the way the rule is intended to be used, and it makes me suspicious of the player because Harden. If you play in the NBA, you're one of the greatest athletes who's ever lived. It's almost not an exaggeration to say everyone in the world who can play in the NBA does. There's huge financial incentive. You're not getting tackled or punched. You know, it's a lot of fun. You're idolized, all those things, and it's fun to play basketball. So when I say the following, I don't mean it literally, because literally, Harden's one of the greatest athletes who've ever lived. He's a superstar in the NBA. But by the standards of NBA superstars, he's not very athletic. He doesn't have upper echelon athletic ability. You know, he's not the fastest like John Wall or Russell Westbrook. He doesn't jump like Blake Griffin. You know, he's not that. He doesn't even shoot the ball like Steph Curry or someone like that. He's like a 35, 36% three-point shooter this year. Of course, he took a lot of them, but still. So he relies on the Euro step, on drawing the offense into committing fouls, those kind of things. And to me, that's a bit like a guess hitter who has his way with third and fourth starters in baseball, but come the playoffs, he's facing aces and deuces, and he can't do as much with the hard stuff. I think players like Harden, at least my theory is that I'm toying with, is that players like Harden, when they get deep in the playoffs, when they don't have that upper echelon athletic ability and have to rely on the manipulation of the rules, they don't succeed like more athletic players, partly because the game is officiated differently, partly because they're up against other clever players who are also elite athletically. So that's my whole rap on Harden and the Rockets.
Max, I couldn't agree more with you because I've said this over and over again, having worked with the Rockets for 20-some years, and the bottom line is in the playoffs, they call the game differently. They're not going to make those calls. So with that being said, and what you've just said, I then further the question to say, Is James Harden the kind of guy that can lead this franchise to a championship? And what would it take for him to get the Rockets to be a contender for a title?
Okay, let me say this now. I hope I'm wrong about the following statement. I don't root against a player like James Harden, even though he was a high draft pick. I think he's outkicked his coverage, right? Like he's outstripped expectations. Good for him. And now new expectations are set. I wonder if he's not a dead-end player. And by dead-end player, I mean, and like Carmelo Anthony is like this, and there are many other excellent players like this, where you'd almost rather have a lesser player, because the lesser player may be an easier path to a championship. By dead-end player, I mean this. They're so good that you're going to have to give them a max contract. You're going to have to essentially give them a third of all your salary cap resources, right? And they're also going to be a very high-usage player. And they're likely to be your primary option on offense. So, because Harden's too good not to be. But as a result, then the question becomes, is that player good enough to be the primary option on offense on a championship team? Particularly in Harden's case, he doesn't play defense. And I think in his case, the answer is no. I never, when I'm watching him in the regular season, as great as he is, feel as though he's actually as good as, well, clearly not LeBron James. Let's put LeBron James aside. Not as good as Kawhi Leonard. Not as good as Steph Curry. Not as good as Russell Westbrook. In fact, Harden and Westbrook played on the same team, and there's a reason one guy started and one guy came off the bench. So I don't think that, given his deficiencies on the defensive end, that he is good enough to be the best player on a championship team. The question then becomes, can he be one of the two best players on a championship team? Can you have a 1A to his 1B, let's say, on a championship team? I think the answer to that is yes. But that 1A is going to have to be a prime Kristaps Porzingis or Karl Anthony Towns or Anthony Davis or a healthy Joel Embiid in a couple of years. It's going to have to be a unicorn-style, inside-outside, all-way threat, seven-footer type. Like, it's not just going to be your run-of-the-mill, excellent big. It would have to be something truly special, or maybe another wing that he could play off well. You know, one of the issues with the Thunder is that they found that when Harden was on the floor with Westbrook and Durant, they actually functioned less efficiently than when the three of them weren't playing together. So he's a very tricky player, I think, to win a championship with, and a dangerous one in the sense that he's a tantalizing player to want to try to win a championship with because he is so good. You know, you're almost better off with a lesser player who doesn't trick you into the same kind of trap, right? Who you maybe don't even have to pay the same way. So that's my wrap in terms of his ability to lead a team to a championship. I don't see it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you look, they tried the dynamic duo with Howard. It didn't work, but they definitely need to try it again and find someone that can coexist with and be a type A personality with James Harden. So great insight there, Max. We appreciate it. So before we let we go, we want to remind everybody HBO's World Championship Boxing returning this Saturday night from the Garden in New York. Undefeated champion Terrence Crawford taking on gold medalist Felix Diaz. It's a showdown for the World Junior Welterweight Championship. So we've got Max Kellerman on that broadcast. We've got him on First Take with Stephen A. Smith. Check your local listings. Make sure you keep up with Max. And Max, we appreciate the time. I know you're busy, so thanks for stopping in.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Max Kellerman with some great insight right there, not only on the fight, but more importantly on James Harden and the chances for a Rockets to win a title with him in the future. Right now, I want to tell you guys about Window World. I'm a huge fan of Window World in Houston for one simple reason, because they do the best windows at a fair price, and it lowers your energy bills. They have become the country's number one window company by offering a lifetime warranty, a higher quality product, and a low price that starts at just $189 a window, plus $45 for solar zone low E to meet Texas energy regulations. What's the first step to reducing your energy bills? Just call Window World. All you got to do is schedule a free written estimate. No hassles, no high pressure. It's a free estimate, folks. You got nothing to lose. You call them at 713-439-1172 or you log on to windowworldhouston.com and you line up that estimate. They do the rest. They come to you. They look at your windows. They tell you what works, what doesn't, what they could do to make it better, how they could lower your bills, and then they walk away. If you want them, you get back in contact with them. They'll come out and do the work. If not, you owe them nothing, and they simply walk away, and you have a written estimate in case you ever want to refer to it in the future. 713-439-1172, windowworldhouston.com. Window World, simply the best for less. Give them a call.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You ain't nothing but a hound.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I want to send out the precursor that we did not pick this song based on Max Kellerman's interview, referring to James Hart. This is for Way Back Wednesday. But
that's true.
He did somewhat refer to James being a little bit of a hound dog.
Did he?
Or a dog.
Oh.
He had a couple of different terms, but I wanted to ask you guys about that coming out of the interview. Great interview. Max was very, very, very open, and I appreciate that. And I know he's been critical of James in the past, but do you agree with what he thinks the best second superstar complimentary player to James would be? He said he really thought it had to be a special unicorn-type player at the center position like Karl Anthony Towns. He named some other bigs. Or a talented wing. I would lean more towards a talented small forward or wing player that could still do some, especially if you're going to play D'Antoni's offense, that could do some things off the dribble and create his own. Because to me, Karl Anthony Towns wouldn't fit real well in the Rockets offense as it is right now because they play too fast.
Well, you had a center that was pretty talented.
Right.
Not great anymore. But he was fairly talented in Dwight Howard, and he just didn't fit. They didn't fit. Now, it wasn't a D'Antoni run offense either. I would have liked to have seen how maybe Dwight had done in this D'Antoni pick and roll, you know, 3-point perimeter game that they mix up. But you know, it's funny because someone had asked me yesterday on Twitter, making a great point by the way, and a great angle. But they were like, "All right, Barry. If the Rockets could add one or two players, and it realistic or not, okay, so you can add, you have your pick of any two players in the NBA to add to this team, but they can't be on Golden State, San Antonio, or Cleveland. So you, all other teams are open. You get to, it's a draft. You get the first two picks. Any player, any team except those three.
And you have the roster you have now?
Who could you add to be able, and you don't have to worry about salary cap or anything, just talent-wise. Who could you add to beat those three teams, Golden State, Cleveland, and San Antonio? And Nick and I were kind of throwing this around in the bullpen with some of the interns and stuff, and I think what we ended up settling on was Anthony Davis and John Wall. And I think that gives you that punch that you would need from both inside, defensively, but still have a score, run the pick and roll with Anthony Davis. John Wall allows you to, I mean, now James can set up and be a spot shooter or bring the ball up. I mean, it gives you a guy that can play a little defense, you know, in Anthony Davis. So there's a lot to it. But the point was, even with those, do you think that they beat Golden State? Do you think that they would beat the Cleveland Cavaliers? It's a good question. It's a good angle because his point was, yeah, those aren't realistic. That's never going to happen. So it makes you feel like kind of in the NBA, what are we doing here? Like, are we really – what's the point? Because it seems like for the foreseeable future, it's going to come down to those three teams.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would have chosen those two, but even still
– Porzingis was another one that we
– Yeah, I like Porzingis. I would, if really I thought close of that, I would have – You know, I might have thrown that in there. That's a really good pick.
But, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, so I was looking, I'm just trying to think of, like, because I like the, again, it's not a big man's league anymore. So I like the fact that you got probably the most talented, flexible big from a defensive perspective, especially. That, you know, again, the guy that we've been talking about for the Rockets, where you can go down on the low block, get you two, but he can guard the paint, block shots, alter more, get rebounds, and he's athletic enough to run. Mm-hmm. So I think from a Davis perspective, I don't think I would disagree. I'm looking at two different guys from the standpoint of, one, because this offense is so predicated on shooters.
Mm-hmm.
I love Bradley Beal's game. I love Bradley Beal's game because he can also handle it, but he can really score from everywhere. And the other guy that people probably aren't going to like me saying, and I guess maybe there's two other players, but I think from the standpoint,
Jazz.
I'm not going to say Gordon Hayward, okay, because I think I just think James would dominate him, would crush him mentally.
Yeah.
To believe that he had to defer everything to James.
You think?
I do. I think there's two players. To me, I would say Russell Westbrook, just simply because from an athletic standpoint of getting up and down the floor, from playing that system, from attacking the basket on the nights where, sure, now granted, there's going to be times you don't like the outside shots he takes, but on nights, especially when you're not making the three, God, you couldn't find another guy that could really attack the rim.
But there's not enough ball to go around between those two.
I see that. I see that.
I would feel like that would be an issue. Well, he's getting more shots than me. I'm getting more, you know, why assists. I mean, you're looking at guys that are flirting with triple doubles every night. You know, I would feel like when Harden was the sixth man and had a role and he knew his role and he played it, I think Westbrook and Durant were all right with that. But if, you know, if Harden would have been elevated to the shooting guard on that team, you know, starting, you feel like that might have rubbed Westbrook the wrong way. But I see, I mean, from a talent perspective, but that's why I didn't include Westbrook, because he was one of the first guys I thought of, but I was just worried about there being enough ball to go around.
Yeah, and the only reason why I would say that, too, is because they're friends.
Yeah, and I mean, you can make the same argument for Wall, since I added Wall. You could kind of say, well, is there enough ball to go around between those two?
Right, and I think because of these two guys have played together in the past, they're really good friends. I think they could work out a lot of things so that they could figure it out. Now, I originally was going to go with a point guard like you guys did.
Yeah.
But then I thought James has got his hands on the ball so much and he handles it so much and he's literally their point guard that I wouldn't do that. So I went a different direction and I said Paul George. Paul George, because he can guard a Kevin Durant because he's a really good defender. So he can do some things for him on the defensive end, but he's flexible enough to guard twos, threes, and some fours because he's a pretty good big physical body even though he's athletic.
Younger, newer, better Trevor Ariza?
Yeah, exactly what we were talking about the other
day. Yeah.
So I would lean more towards a Paul George and an Anthony Davis, and I might take my shot, but even still with that being said, and you saw what they did last night, and of course Leonard didn't play, but when that team is clicking on all cylinders, and Klay Thompson isn't anywhere close to clicking on all cylinders right now, but they can just rip your heart out in the first quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the legitimate question that I thought about watching the game last night for you two guys is, because I threw it out there earlier in the week and I thought, well, maybe not. But do you see any scenario? I really think that both these teams could be undefeated when they get to the finals.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I could see the Celtics winning one at home, though.
You and I were talking about in the break, and the thing that I would say is tonight's game, because of the lack of actual game competition for the Cavs, they might come out rusty and Boston might catch them sleeping a little bit, so to speak. So I can see that. But I really think that this is the new thing for both of these teams. Hey, especially because LeBron blows off the regular season and because of the fact that the Warriors spent all their energy a couple years ago trying to have the best record in the regular season and then didn't win the title and everybody said, you screwed yourself. So I just feel like, especially from a Golden State perspective, their new thing to do is run the table on the playoffs to get to the finals, and if at all possible, run the table on the finals, then they could really make a statement to say we went undefeated in the playoffs. I don't know that it's ever
been
done.
Yeah. That would be interesting. I don't know. I have more faith, I guess, in the set. Well, the way the Spurs are playing and without Kawhi Leonard, and Popovich was losing his mind mm-hmm. in the press conference, wasn't he? He was just like...
Well, he was just getting impatient with every question that came his way.
But he's like that already. But, I mean, just the stuff that he was saying was, we need to be punched in the mouth. And these guys don't believe they can win without Kawhi Leonard. Why would you come out and say that?
They did it here.
Yeah, why would you come out and say that? I know you're trying to motivate your team, but you're probably going to piss them off, too.
I will say, I want to give props to someone I'd never give props to. Who's the sideliner? Doris Burke.
Yep.
The way she approaches Pop in like the halftime interviews is completely different. Like, she'll end it before he does. It's kind of weird.
I think, but no, going in, she knows what's coming. I just think, I was thinking about that. I was going to ask you, Nick, because you're at so many post games and podium sessions. That's one of the most difficult things to do in the world, is to try and get a question to have the nuts to go up there and ask Greg Popovich a question and then to have to take whatever he gives at you when you know he's going to spew venom in most cases. But especially the in-game interview, he's made it very clear, even when I was at NBA meetings, he does not want to do them. He hates them.
Everyone, yeah.
The only time he's ever been remotely personable is Craig Sager. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that's salty.
He's pissed.
Yeah.
He's, I mean, I don't know that I would be as pissed, though. You lost your star. Yeah.
He's got a built-in excuse.
Exactly. Just chill a little. Like, it's going to happen, bro.
He's got to live up to his image.
You're supposed to go lose on the road anyways. That's how it's designed. You go lose on the road and you win at home. But I don't have a lot of faith. If the Spurs had Kawhi, I would feel a little better. But I just, for some reason, I feel like that the Celtics have a better chance of stealing a game and ruining what you were talking about, that undefeated run to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the Spurs right now, just because, you know, with Kawhi out and Aldridge back to kind of sucking, it's not looking good.
It's bad with Kawhi out when the only thing they want to talk about with LaMarcus Aldridge was, did he step under Kevin Durant, instead of saying he came to play like he did in Houston.
Yeah.
So the Spurs are in trouble. I do believe that there is a chance the Celtics could get a game. But I really think, and I think right now, because the NBA is so concerned about being criticized for just having these two teams that are going to constantly meet in the finals, that they would love to see that extra added bonus of having both teams come into the finals undefeated.
I could see that. I could see that. Is this for the Red Sox? Is that why you played this? Red Sox fan? Oh, it's you.
I played it. It's my last song.
Okay. You a big Boston Red Sox fan?
I've always been a Red Sox since I was little.
So this is your favorite song?
No, I think he's the first original white rapper. Neil Diamond.
Okay. Might be Blondie, but all right.
I like Neil Diamond. And I think Neil Diamond, which came first, the chicken or the egg, I think Neil came before Blondie.
Look, hold on real quick before we go.
Yeah.
We were talking about jerseys and colors, and remember I was saying I didn't like the Aggies colors.
Yep.
Or the... Somebody texted the show and said, Barry, you're a dumbass. Aggie maroon and Rockets red and yellow are great. No keyboard confidence here. Just no time to call. Like, I like you guys, but I hope someone touches your food.
Well, at least they know how to get to it.
Thanks, jerk.
All right, so if you want to be like jerk and text the show, 713-780-3776, or if you want to call, 713-780-ESPN, or you can hit us up on Twitter with two in the books, one to go. We still have plenty more show. We are the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.